You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
Welcome, everybody, to a brand new episode of a brand new show on Corn Nation. This is the Five Hearts Podcast. I'm Greg Mahochko, and joined by my good friend and a longtime podcast buddy, although it's been over 2.5 years, Brian Toll. Brian, it's good to chat with you in an official Corn Nation capacity once again for everybody to listen.
You make it sound like we know what the hell we're doing.
We don't, but if I can make it sound like that, then that's half the battle.
Nah, good luck.
We are on the cusps of a new season. In fact, as we record this, because better late than never, or last minute always works, or in other words, Greg, the radio veteran, doesn't know how to set up audio equipment to record a damn podcast. Anyway, we're recording this two nights before Husker game day, and as we're recording, we're watching Minnesota try valiantly to rally in the fourth quarter to beat Oregon State, which, you know, two teams who, golly gee, they sure sometimes play some football.
Mike Riley's recruits beating Minnesota. Ah, take that.
And it's only a matter of time until Mike Riley's players beat him as well. See what I did there?
Well, they actually beat him last year, so.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, this in the 2016 season.
Yeah, you're getting dramatic.
Obviously, that's what I do. You're the angry one. I'm the funny one. And let's just jump right into it. What are you angry about heading into this year?
Well, first off, Tennessee's not a top 10 team. I think we all saw that.
Did they get exposed, Brian?
It took them overtime to beat a Sun Belt team, but hey, you know.
But not just any Sun Belt team. This is the Sun Belt team that likes to do big things in big stages against big opponents.
Keep telling me that, you know, Josh Jobs is the second coming of Vince Young. Sure, okay. But what are we angry about? We're angry about bad. We're angry about a targeting rule.
We're a little bit.
We've already seen four guys go tonight because of the targeting rule. Two for Minnesota.
Now let me ask you this. Going back to the last two games that Nebraska had at the end of last season, the Iowa game and then the bowl game, they altered the targeting rule, correct? I mean, do we need to worry about playing time for Nate Gary?
Well, you're not going to worry about him this week because he's not playing this
week. Obviously not this week.
I think the problem is with the targeting rule now it's become, you know, when in doubt, call it, and then we'll figure it out and replay. But the problem is it's been shown that replay hasn't been able to clear that up. I mean, that was Foster Farm Bowl was a perfect example. There's no way you call that targeting. The only two people that thought it was targeting were the two people that called it, the one guy that threw the flag and the replay official. So I don't know. I think there needs to be a better holy moly. Oh,
he walked Oregon, into the end zone.
Oregon 47 had him for 3 yards and just didn't matter.
All right, Oregon State.
But,
the gents from Corvallis, not Eugene. Let's get it right. But anyway, targeting rule.
I think it just needs, you know, I think what happens is, and this happens in the NFL and everything like that, some of these players just are getting way faster than the officials. Okay? And that's just a fact of the matter. You know, and I'm not saying the officials are lazy. They're just not catching. There's a lot of things to catch up. They've added an extra official, supposedly this year, to fix that. You know, but I don't know how well you're going to catch up if you don't. You know, if the guy on there that can't catch up, and you're adding another guy that can't catch up. See my point? I mean, you're not really kind of. You're not really. Are you fixing the problem, or are you just making it worse?
Here's what I want, and I understand that player safety needs to be, you know, at the forefront of everybody's minds, be it other players, you know, coaches, you know, training staff, officials, obviously. But I don't think it's right to, you know, if it's full on absolute targeting and, Yes, thank you, iCloud storage being almost full, although it's not. It's only just over half. Anyway, if it's legit targeting where there's malicious intent, that's where I could see the ejection. But if you're just trying to make a tackle, you know, a hard hit is one thing. But, I mean, and obviously with the speed of the game, it's very difficult to, you know, slow things down and say, oh, did you see the look on his face? He was out for blood. You know, I don't know. I like what they're attempting to do with the rule. I don't like how it's been put into effect, if that makes sense.
Kind of, I agree. I think they do have to protect the head no matter what. So even if you get something that is, you know, if you don't mean head to head, if there's like injury, definitely. But I think they need to just, I think they need to eliminate the intent more than anything, because there's guys that, you know, it happens. I mean, head-to-head shots are going to happen, and it's not going to be intentional, and you're going to have guys ejected. I get that. But what I think needs to happen is the intent of injuring kids, you know, because let's face it, how many kids, you know, are losing time to medical red shirts, to medical disqualifications, you know? I mean, there's more to life than football on this aspect. I mean, it's not like they're getting paid to do it, which is another discussion, whatever. But
SEC, SEC.
Anyway, but sorry, my point being is this, you know, it's like what I said about Zach Darlington a couple years ago. You know, is he good to play? Because, you know what, this is 4 years of football. He's still got 60 years of life left.
Yeah.
You know, I get that aspect of the NFL. You know, you do kind of take that risk, but then again, you know, there is a paycheck coming, and, you know, after so many years, so be it. College game, do they owe you that? They don't really owe you that. I mean, yeah, granted, a school like Nebraska's done really good on it.
It's one of those things.
At the same time, there's also all these other schools that have are really kind of like, well, you know, we'll pay for your thing, and, you know, you're now, and 5 years down the road, are you going to make sure you get your degree or what have you, you know, so.
And for me, it doesn't matter if it's college or the pros. When I see a bad hit, I mean, you know, full speed, somebody gets laid out, you know, I stop, you know, my heart sinks down in my stomach, you know, and it's like, here we go again. And it part of it is, here we go again. Here's going to, you know, add more fuel to that fire, that debate, you know, about player safety, which, again, as I've said, absolutely for it, but at the same time, I look at, you know, that's a young man, or, you know, even if it's the pros, it's a older young man. I mean, I'm 34 now, and you recently had a birthday, and you know, most of these guys playing football are younger than we are, especially you, yeah. Old timer. You know, as I look at it, I'm like, these guys, like you said, they've got, you know, 60 years left. If you put something like somebody like Patrick O'Brien out there, and, you know, I know he's redshirting this year, at least by all indications that we still have, but let's say, God forbid, he gets in a game this year, takes a hell of a hit. He's 18, 19 years old. He's, you know, theoretically, he's got 70 years left ahead of him, you know, and that's a long, long time to go when your bell's been rung. So, I don't know, it's not... I'm certainly not, you know, one to be making policy changes at this level, because, you know, I'm just, you know, the armchair quarterback or armchair, you know, whatever. But, you know, let me ask you this: did you see the Ridley Scott Will Smith movie Concussion?
I did not, actually. I have not.
Yeah, you know, you and a lot of other people. Because it only made $50.3 million domestic and had a budget of $57. But, and I've not seen it, it just seems like, I don't know if it's, you know, part of that is, you know, the NFL, the Shield, trying to silence a movie. I don't know if it was just the fact that it was initially kind of released around Christmas time, and that's not really a Christmas movie. Like, oh, what do you want to do as a family over our Christmas break? Let's go watch a movie about brain injuries. No, that's, you know, that's not the right time or place for that. But you know,
so we have football.
Yeah, yeah, and we're still in the middle of bowl season and getting ready for NFL playoffs and things like that. Brian, it is, speaking of, you know, times of laying off, it has been, I think, the end of the 2013-2014 season since we last recorded, detasseling the Huskers. If anybody remembers that show, it was our weekly mailbag podcast where we took questions from listeners, and I switched not just jobs but careers, and it became difficult to get time in a proper booth to visit with you about Husker athletics. But you know, things have happened in the last couple of years since we took to the airwaves. I don't know if you know this or not, but Bo Pelini's not the head coach of the Huskers anymore.
He's not.
We got this guy from Oregon State. Have you heard of Mike Riley? This is actually going to be his second year in Lincoln.
Oh man, have I?
No,
oh,
man.
Oregon State, why like not like this?
Uh oh. Yeah, that's not going to go so well. But hey, Big Ten number one conference.
I've heard about this guy. You know, he didn't really have a great year last year, and whole team didn't. More unlucky than any, you know, a couple buffoon things, couple games that really we could have done a lot better. Primarily, you know, like in Illinois.
I was at that game, by the way.
Against Purdue, yeah, I get that. But you know, let's face it, Nebraska was unlucky more than they were bad last year.
And you look at the way the BYU game ended, Miami. As a junior last year, Tommy Armstrong, and I'm not shouldering or saddling the blame for the season on him, but he struggled at times, and as he went, the team went. You look at now take Purdue out of the equation because he was out that game and we had to suffer through Riker Fife. And I know he's a Nebraska boy, Grand Island proud, you know, go Grand Island.
He came to Nebraska with five hearts.
That, yes. Yeah. But you know what? He needed 5.5.
Yeah. Well,
Here's the thing. We have seen, you know, like somebody like Andy Janovich, who is a walk-on, comes to Nebraska, you know, as a five-heart recruit, which that's, you know, what you want out of a fullback, I think. You can't be a quarterback and Division I NCAA football and get by just on heart. You have to have some acumen, you know, some – and I'm not saying that Riker Fife is a horrible athlete, obviously – he's better than I am, you know, so I've got no room to talk. But as you go forward in this season, I mean, I hope he does very well if he's called upon, you know, if coming up tomorrow night against Fresno State, if Nebraska finds themselves up 35-40 points, by all means, please put Riker Fife in, because at that point Tommy Armstrong has no business being in the game. He is, you know, you got two seniors, completely different styles of how they play that quarterback position. But as we saw last year, when Tommy struggled, Nebraska struggled, and a lot of times he was putting that defense in some really bad spots. It's just, going back to Miami, losing that game on the road at overtime. I was at that Illinois game. I was front row of that Illinois game, and that pained me because I was in the end zone where that touchdown – I was in the corner of the end zone where that touchdown was caught. And if you go back and watch some of the replays, there's a chance you might see me and my at-the-time pregnant wife with, you know, on the television. And that was a cold, windy game to sit through to be at L – At the end of the day, we did it because we're dedicated, damn it, but still sucked.
What I'll say is this about, you know, first thing you're bringing up, Armstrong, you know, you bring up the Miami game, and yeah, you had three picks, but guess what? If he doesn't hit for 309 in that game and four touchdowns, they don't make it to overtime. You know, it's not like the Rascals defense is playing great. The interception at the end. Now, the interception at the end was really bad. Let's put it this way. The last three games of the year, Michigan State, Rutgers, and Iowa, he had more interceptions than he did the first nine games of the year.
Yeah.
Okay. For Iowa. And think about this. He had four interceptions against Iowa, and Nebraska was still a touchdown, a 2-point conversion away from going overtime against an undefeated top 10 team.
And I remember that, as I remember the one that I remember most vividly was kind of the slant route that got picked off by, I think, a lineman or something like that, you know, batted it up and caught it or tipped it to a teammate or something and was eventually picked
off.
Yeah, so that was that pains me that memory is burned into my retinas, because that's a horrid sight to behold. I think
the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, when you have a Tommy Armstrong that makes decent decisions, okay, that can, you know, he's going to make bad decisions. I mean, every player does. I mean, if you don't think that's going to happen, then there's a problem. That being said, here's the thing about this. As long as Tommy can limit them, Nebraska's going to be in decent shape. And that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is with the offense. Everybody wants to run the ball 90 plays a game. It's not feasible to run the ball 90 plays a game.
Don't tell some of our coordination friends that you can't just run the dadgum ball.
I'll say it and they'll like it.
Well, they won't like it.
Everybody wants to run the ball, you know, 90 plays a game. It just doesn't happen. It just does not happen. You know, I get, you know, the need to run the ball well, but if Nebraska doesn't have an O, especially with all the new guys that are only going to be offensive line this year, you know, you're asking for, you know, automatic cohesiveness out of the first week, and that's a lot to ask for. Are there good guys on there? Yeah, Gates is pretty good. Jarrell Foster would have been pretty good. You know, Utter will be good, except when he gets against a big nose guard, and this week Fresno State has that in the 3-4. You know, there's a lot of young guys, and we've got to find out how good we are in that aspect, but I just don't know. You know, Nebraska fans want this, and they'll die fighting for it, but if Nebraska keeps to that game plan and loses the game, whose fault is it the offensive lines? They just got to block better. You know, there's a lot of 90s revisionist history when it comes to stuff like this. Nebraska has the best wide receiver set in the Big Ten, you know, one of the top 10 ones in America. You know, I fully believe that. Now, if there's not a guy to throw it to, that's, you know, I get that. You know, okay. That being said, do you want Tommy running the ball all the time, knowing that Riker's behind him? Riker's probably not going to be pretty good. Knowing that if Tommy gets hurt early in the year and Riker proves he can't do it, Patrick O'Brien, a true freshman, is coming in to play quarterback, hell or high water.
I guess the benefit to POB is the fact that he has been on campus since January and got to be with the team for a whole spring. But let me ask you this, and again, this is an unknown because we haven't seen the first game of the season yet, but going into, you know, that junior to senior year, and again, I know that the answer to my question before I ask it because we don't know, but since you admittedly stay up on this much more than I do, can we effectively say that Tommy Armstrong has matured, settled down a little bit? I mean, can we expect fewer mistakes in his senior year? I mean, I know he's not going out looking to be like, well, if I can just throw 14 interceptions instead of 16, we'll be okay.
I kind of wonder, you know, I don't know. Granted, second year is a system, that's going to be something, but if Tommy has a way of reading stuff and the staff can't get it out of him, then there's nothing you can do about that. That's just the way it is. Okay. If Tommy's taught to read A, read B, read C, do D, and Tommy just says, read A, screw it. You know, Armstrong could probably make a living out of being a check down artist. You know, they tease everybody in the world about being check down artists, but guess what? If Tommy Armstrong was a check down artist last year,
different season,
probably a lot more games to practice. And not even, you know, you can't, maybe Illinois. I doubt it matters that much. Definitely Iowa.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, let's think about that. What play in your, you know, the play that burns in your retinas is the pick six, but also remember it was fourth down and 2 or something like that, and Nebraska was driving towards the south end of the field, and it was a 4th and 2, and if I remember right, Armstrong looks left, he's got a wide open Stephen Carter for a touchdown, but he looks right, tries to hit Turner or something like that in the corner and do a double coverage. Those are the plays that drive me nuts. Those are the plays that absolutely drive me nuts, because you know what? You get 3 yards, it's a first down, the game keeps going, mm-hmm. you're still driving to score, you know? That's just the one thing that drives you batty. It really does.
Can we... I know we can hope, but can we expect that the coaches saw enough positive outcomes from the adjustments that they made in the game plan at the Foster Farms bowl game in the win over UCLA to be able to use that knowledge to put together a better game plan, knowing that this is the personnel that they have, you know, for this year? Is Danny Langsdorf going to call a better game than he did for the regular season?
First off, before we answer that question, Minnesota just got hit with another targeting call, and this one's pretty legit. But what's funny is there's two things that are funny. First off, the BTN rules expert, his name is Dick Hoing. Okay,
that's not a joke.
You know,
that's a Cobcast joke right there, sir.
Yeah, that is a Cobcast joke. But here's the second thing: if you're watching the game, it's 8:13 to go in the fourth quarter, and it looks like the Big Ten official is reviewing this play on a glorified iPad in front of them. It's kind of funny to watch, actually.
Let's see what they call, though.
They will call targeting. And
the show comes to a...
Yep. Third ejection for Minnesota in the first game. Incredible. And that gentleman's got to sit out for the first half of the next game. To answer your question, UCLA's run defense, okay, was not good. I mean, there were like hundreds, ranked 100th-ish in America in run D, okay? So the game plan allowed itself to happen. Okay. And I'm not telling you that it doesn't matter. What I am saying is if that's what you could do on UCLA, yeah, you're going to do it. It's not like that was the hardest thing about Nebraska victory that really kind of, you know, oh, they ran the ball. Well, yeah, they could run the ball because they had somebody that could run the ball all over. If you can't run the ball, you know, what are you going to do? Well, when in doubt, when the 50th knock on the wall doesn't knock it down, knock it on 51, 52, 53 times. Sure, why not, you know? So, do we have a running back? Is there a real running back on this team that's going to, you know, is there a Divine like Zeebo that stood up? Is there a Mikhail Wilbon that's going to get on a milk carton? Is there going to be Terrell Newby that does something in his senior year? Is there going to be a Trey Bryan, that is going to actually, you know, step up and do something in his redshirt freshman year? You know, I mean, that's a great question. Are there 5 guys on the offensive line you trust? You know, who are you going to trust the left tackle? You're replacing Alex Lewis. I mean, Nebraska should get better because it doesn't have to worry about 20 yards a game and penalties from Alex Lewis. Tell me I'm wrong.
But at least he didn't, like, tumble backwards like Jay Cotton.
Well, yeah, but, hey, okay. And Minnesota just gives up a first down on a screen pass on 3rd and 18. Yeah. Hey,
Stay on point. Well, let's stay on point. I'm going to tell you to turn that television off, sir, so you're getting distracted too easily.
This is where everybody tells you to shut up. Anyway, Fresno State's bad. I mean, but Fresno State's not great, but guess what? They're going to run a 3-4, which Nebraska doesn't see a lot. They're going to have a nose guard on Utter, who, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how Utter does his first game at center. Okay, remember that with that. Okay. And also got to remember, there's a few new guys on that offensive line, and there's, you know, maybe Langsdorf going upstairs will matter. Maybe it won't. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe I'm stoned on this, but at the same time, I just keep thinking that, you know, it's so much more than just, well, God, we want to run the ball. Well, you know, I want to see my feet when I stand up, but I don't. But there's a lot of things I got to do to get to that point.
That was out of left field, buddy. Like, of all the analogies or all the hyperbole or the statements you could have made, that's what you went with.
Like, you want to lie? No. Or to say just went wildcat and didn't get the first down?
Like, I could say I want my dogs to stop jumping on the bed. That's, you know, never mind. So, anyway, looking at the defensive side of things, we have a lot of new personnel we're going to be seeing up front because we lost two to the draft in Malik Collins and Vincent Valentine. We lost one who, you know, got his degree and said, you know, I'm ready to begin my life and you know, get away from football. And that was Greg McMullen. And we lost one to a transfer in Kevin Williams, who went to Michigan State. And I'm not, you know, everybody's decision is everybody's decision, and that is completely their, you know, choice. So, because both the guys who went to the draft went early. So we could have had four very prominent names coming back. You know, proven names, and everybody went a different way, and I'm not going to fault them. You know, I don't fault kids when they, you know, decommit or change their mind or don't pick Nebraska or anything like that. These are young men, you know, so I don't get worked up about that. What I see is, okay, now we have to look to the future, and we've got freedom, and I've got Mahochko, and that's a rough one. I feel bad for Freedom because his last name is almost impossible.
Akin Meladium.
Okay. I'm just going to say Freedom, and when I say it, I'm going to think of Aretha Franklin and Blues Brothers. Freedom! Freedom! That's all that you're going to get from me, listeners. I could have probably taken it to the next one. I'm going to spare you. But anyway, but you've got a lot of unknowns there. I think that the strongest – is it safe to say that the strongest aspects of the team overall, wide receiver core and linebacker core?
I think the safeties are going to be good. The secondary is going to be good. I think what needs to happen is they need to get healthy. Antonio Reed's not going to play. Obviously, Jerry's out for the game with the suspension or whatever he did. I think the corners are going to be a iron sharpens iron type of thing. Lamar Jackson is going to play a lot, and you're going to be impressed by him. There's a lot of – he's the first guy off the bench, and the only thing I think he's the first guy off the bench is he's a true freshman, and you're not sure how he's going to react in the first snap of the game. Lamar is the real deal. Sounds like Tony Butler's going to redshirt. He's got some injury issues. I'm really kind of interested to see how much they rotate on the defensive line. Okay, there's Freedom, there's Ross Sturgis, who I don't, if there's a weak link in that 11, I think it's Ross Sturgis. I really do. I don't get why he's starting. I get he probably grades out better than everybody else, but there's no reason that guy, there's somebody should be going around those guys. I want to see if the Davis twins get in there. I want to see Kevin Maurice actually do something for one time in his career. I really want to see what kind of rotation, who can do what in that defensive line. If they can stop the run, that's great. I think the big worry is going to be how do they get past a pass rush. And Nebraska doesn't have a pass rusher like a Randy Gregory or you could even say, you know, Marcus Newby in his early career, because Marcus Newby used to come in and be this third down, hand down pass rusher. Looks like Newby's going to be more of a linebacker type of guy. I really kind of interested to know that Nebraska didn't go to like a 3-3-5 this year. I thought they really would with the way they've recruited linebackers, the lack of defensive line recruiting. So I think defensive line is the biggest question. I think secondary is going to get a lot better than people think, only because, one, I think they've organized a little better between Brian Stewart and Banker. Whether that gets onto the field, that's a great question, but I think that, and plus I think there's enough talent there to really kind of make it worthwhile. So obviously it's got to be, you know, I dare to say it can't be worse than it did last year, but you know, I mean, Daniel Davey wasn't there, so you know, Fresno State's not gonna be a great offense, I don't think. I think they're going to have a hard time to find an identity. So this is a game to get healthy, and South Dakota's been game to get healthy. And then, you know, you have to get some depth because Oregon doesn't kill you by a million different cuts. They kill you by tempo. They kill you by running 100-something plays a game. They kill you by play after play after play after play. You're tired. Play after play after play after play. So it's an interesting little effect that Oregon tends to have with people. And who knows how it's going to be without Frost, granted, but you know, we kind of know what Oregon does, so I think Saturday is going to be a day where Nebraska is expected to, you know, and you're kind of expecting teams to look bad the first week, kind of the first quarter of the first week. I mean, that's kind of given with everybody, like everything we've seen in the last couple days. You know, we saw it last week in Australia. We saw it the first day on Thursday. So,
what was the purpose for playing in Australia?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, it seems to make as much sense as playing in NFL, playing, you know, taking a couple home games away from some teams and playing them in London.
I don't get the London part. I think it's trying. What you're trying to do is it's a quote unquote grow the game thing, which in the NFL I'll get a lot more than I'll get college guys. Get college guys, you know, they still got to go to class. I mean, yeah. you're still out there for a week, and in classes, I guess, had to start at Hawaii. I mean, look at Hawaii. They're flying from Honolulu to
everywhere in the Mountain Australia, West, right? I mean,
back to Honolulu to Michigan this week. You know, they're covering more miles in 2 weeks than Nebraska probably will the entire season. You know,
and here's the thing about that as well. I mean, as I think about, I look at it from the standpoint of, do Australians give a rip about United States NCAA football? I mean, probably not. Like, they have rugby, you know. Like, I'm thinking of simplistic terms, but like, nobody's coming to the States and bringing cricket with them, you know. Like, Canada brought curling for the Olympics, and I still laugh at it, you know.
One thing I wonder about football on a global scale is, you know, there is enough interest where, you know, I mean, the TV numbers dictate that there's interest. You know, on a Saturday night in England, let's say the English Premier League's done, you know, it's 6 o'clock in London, there's no soccer for the night. Well, look, the 11 a.m. slate's starting. Well, I don't know if the 11 a.m. slate is something to be really happy about. That being said,
I mean, like, with the timing of it all, you know, if what time they're kicking off? Let's see, noon. Or something. I mean, they got to kick off at. I remember seeing like the London games in the NFL, and at like 9 o'clock kickoff here in the States. So they're kicking off at 3 or better, you know. Which, again, not a horrible time, I suppose, to you know, kick off. But I don't know. I understand the business aspect of expanding it, but at the same time, is that really, you know, like, they don't play any games in Canada?
Remember Boston College and Georgia are playing in, if I remember right, they're playing out of the country this week. Can't remember where they're playing. Forgive me, Father, for I sin.
I'll let it slide this time because I didn't know anything about it. So yeah,
there's something. They're not playing inside the country, but you know, I just want you know. Well, Minnesota.
Hey, focus.
I'm focusing.
You're not.
More focused, said the man who rambled about 3 years ago. Anyway.
Shut up.
I think there just has, you know, there's something to be said about the popularity of the sport. But I think when you get in front of everybody and everybody's like, oh, let's take it to you. They're like, you know, we can watch on the TV. We're good. You know, it's okay.
It's
all right.
It's the same with movies. I mean, for me, it's very much the same. And I was listening, like I said, in the Coronation Slack group today, I'm trying to get caught up on, now that I actually have a little bit of a commute to work, I've been getting caught up on some Big Red Cobcasts, and they were talking with President and CEO of Coronation, John Johnston, and they were talking about, you know, the sellout streak and and if it's in jeopardy. We don't need to get into that topic. I think they covered it pretty well, but it's, you know, come down to, you know, at the beginning of the season, you know, this weekend is probably going to be warm, maybe not unseasonably warm, but you get into, you know, like November, you know, things like that, and it might get cold in Lincoln or certainly, you know, Camp Randall or Michigan if you were playing. I know Michigan's not on the schedule, but, you know, Minnesota, things like that. It's going to get cold, and I enjoy the live game experience as much as the next guy, but at a lot of the prices that a lot of these schools are wanting to charge, it's just as comfortable or much more comfortable and a lot cheaper to just stay home, put it on the TV with the bathroom a lot nearby. I don't have to wait for beer. You know, all my concessions are already here. So to me, that's part of it too is, you know, you've got all of these – I don't know. I'm not trying to take away anybody's live experience because, as I said, I enjoy it. If you know, but I'm also, you know, I've yet to experience Memorial Stadium on game day. That's a goal to do. But otherwise, you know, I'm pretty happy just watching it on TV and rewinding at my own, you know, leisure and maybe starting it a half hour late so I can fast forward through commercials. I don't know. I'm just sounding old and crotchety now.
Little?
I said. I didn't say little. I didn't quantify it. I just said I'm sounding old and crotchety. Shut up.
How's your yard?
Stay off it.
See, when you don't care about grass like I do, because I live in Texas, and you know, no matter what you do, it's 9,000 degrees for a month and a half with no rain, so everything gets brown and dead.
I actually, at my new job, which is oddly enough still in car sales, but I've been told that I get Tuesdays off. I haven't had I've been there for just about two full weeks now, but I haven't actually taken a Tuesday off. However, this past Tuesday, I did go in a couple hours late because I wanted to mow my yard, and dear God, if I would have waited until the weekend, I'd have had to chop it through with a machete first just to get it at a manageable spot. It grew that fast in 9 days. I don't know if that's, you know, people are thinking, 9 days? You only mow it every 9 days? I gotta mow it every five. Quit bitching. But, you know, you're in Texas where there is no rain, and so your grass doesn't grow, and so you probably don't have to mow it but once or twice a month.
The brisket's better.
Hmm?
The brisket's better.
That, well, no. I'll tell you what, since we moved a couple weeks back, I am within, I'd say walking distance if I wanted to, you know, like feel froggy, but a very short drive from two barbecue places, and I've already been to one twice. Haven't checked out the other one because it was awfully busy when we drove past it. So,
and it's good that you walk there because you can wear off all the calories you got.
Oh man, I ate way too much on Sunday, just way too much. That was a lot of good barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have a smoker now too, so I can just put, I need to put a roast on. Maybe that's what I'll do Sunday. Maybe that'll be Sunday's meal. So, because hey, this is something else I wanted to talk about, and dear God, I can't believe we've been talking this long, but we'll wrap it up shortly, folks, I promise. New job, new hours, and I will miss entire games if they kick off at 11 o'clock.
Which means you're missing next week.
Let me finish, damn it. I will miss kickoff if they kick off at, well, I guess Tuesday, the next logical kickoff time, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then so I'll miss kickoff and probably the first half by the time I actually get home. But the late kickoffs, the night games, I'll be home for them. So bring on the night games. Sorry, old timers.
Yeah, I think you're talking to me there. You're a jerk. So well, anyway, we're going to wrap this up.
You did celebrate the big 4-0.
I did.
But before we go, and I'm glad we were able to touch on that fact, we lost somebody this week, and it needs to be brought up because I was very surprised to hear that in all of your 40 years, you have never seen Blazing Saddles, you jerk. And we lost Keith Wilder. How do you not watch Blazing Saddles? It is a classic.
I'm not a movie guy. I just...
But there's a sports reference in there.
I know.
When the one guy says, "What in the wide world of sports is going on here?" There. I spoiled it for you. But I think you need to watch it because...
I don't need to watch it because you just spoiled it for me.
No. Because there's a lot more to the movie than just that, okay? I mean, if you like, you know, movies that they can't make today because they can't get away with stuff like they did back in the 70s, then I think you would enjoy Blazing Saddles. Brian, if I ever come back down to Texas to hang out with you, I'm bringing Blazing Saddles, and we're going to watch it, and you're going to laugh.
Okay.
That was a very, like, damn it. And then you're like, I'm going to shut the doors to Texas, and Greg's not allowed in.
We're going to heavily edit this right now. We got to go to Hop Brow again.
So yes.
You can pull your chain, and you can drink bad Texas beer.
No, I'll drink good Texas beer this time.
You didn't tell me that the
Texas beer that I had was like the Bud Light version of Texas beer.
What'd you have, a Lone Star?
Yeah.
That's more like the Hams of Texas beer.
The Hams?
Hams.
I'll tell you what though, who do we here's a quick quiz for you. Who do we play on September let me double check the 17th.
17th we play.
Is that Wyoming?
Yes.
Is that a night game? No, that's a day game.
I don't know yet. I can't remember.
Because
I'm pretty sure it's a day game.
Because the city that I'm living in now, which oddly enough, full circle, is a city I was born in, back in 82. But they have their Oktoberfest that weekend, the 16th and the 17th.
And September. Makes sense.
Yeah, I may mention that as well, but the only thing I can think of is because we're in such close proximity to St. Louis that there's probably a little too much competition with Oktoberfest in October. But Little River Band, talking about being old, is going to be on the main stage, and I think I'm going to try to go. Get a sitter for the boy and take my wife to see Little River Band, and we could reminisce.
You and her going fishing in the dark, laying on your back, just sitting on the stars with cool grass grubs.
That's Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Do you even know?
They're all the same.
No, they're not.
They're all the same.
They're not. Brian?
Sing Springsteen, all that jazz?
No. All right, folks. If you know about Little River Band, I encourage you to tweet at Brian.
When I think about you, I think about 17.
No.
Think about Hard Rock Man. Think about the stars in the sky. You know what's funny is one of the guy
with the stars at night big and bright?
Yeah.
Deep in the high. No, so anyway, no. Cool Change, Lady, Reminiscing. They've got some good songs, man. You need to check out Little River Band.
What the hell are you doing?
You're being a monster. You need to stop.
Not me. What the hell are you doing?
I'm sharing good tunes.
It goes along with us.
So anyway.
So
your
predictions later today.
Yeah.
Listen to the later today to know who's gonna win this game tomorrow between Fresno State and your Nebraska Cornhuskers, live from Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Nebraska, only on the Big Ten Network.
Is it only on the Big Ten Network? Because I just found that on my cable box now tonight for this this Minnesota mishap.
I'm glad he went to his basement and found it, folks. Hey, we're bloggers. We live in basements.
All right. I'm on the first floor of a two-story home. So, watch it.
I have a one-story home.
Do you have a basement?
No.
Okay, then you have disproven your own point.
They don't have basements in Texas because it's supposedly the soil won't let you have it.
But you know what Texas will let you have?
Good chicken breast steak.
Stars at night that are big and bright.
Guns.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you much. Have a good evening.
This has been the Five Hearts Podcast on Coronation with Brian Toll and myself, Greg Mahochko. And we'll do it next time. And because we're Arch, maybe we'll open it up to like a little Loveline type thing. You know, if you've got, if you need romantic advice, we'll set aside a few minutes and tell you all you need to know.
Like us on Twitter and follow us on Facebook. Wait.
Reverse that.
Strike it.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter.
Yep.
And go Big Red.
This editing is going to be great.
This has been a production of CornNation.com. For more, like CornNation on Facebook, follow CornNation on Twitter, and bookmark CornNation.com in your favorite browser.